Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
D'Amico Ryan's talking about culture. Culture's been something that's been scrutinized when it comes to the Texans. D'Amico Ryan's looked at as kind of a guy who can improve a culture. He's got the street cred of being a player. He's got the leadership qualities. He's got the charisma, the nostalgia, all that he's got. Here's D'Amico Ryan's talking about what it takes to build a culture. The question was from Peter King, who I anticipate is going to write some very nice things about D'Amico on Monday. Here was D'Amico talking about building a culture.
You change the culture, what you change it's the people, right? It's bringing in guys who have been part of winning programs, right? And those guys establishing how do winners practice, right? How do winners work in the weight room? How do winners handle themselves off the field? And when you add those guys to your team, that's how the culture continues to change. And you come in, you add, you know, younger college guys, draft guys, or undrafted free agents, and they just fall underneath that leadership of the guys that we've added. Because there's something grand, and it's about the culture change, is about the people. Right? We bring the right people in who have the right work ethic, the right mindset, and that's how the culture starts to shift, and that's how we build a winning program.
I think there's also got to be substance, because when you say they've been part of winning cultures, they've been part of winning programs, I immediately think about, well, this bozo is from New England,
yeah,
and he was a chaplain. Let's bring him here and let him oversee everything and stuff. So I think there's a little bit more to it than, you know, they come from places. I think the Texans have kind of had that philosophy. Oh, this guy, oh, he coached Tom Brady a couple of years. I don't know how Tom Brady was good with him. Let's bring this guy in and make him king. Oh, this guy was a character coach. Let's bring him in. He took notes, followed around Bill Belichick and took notes on him, and he has a bunch of cool lines that look like TJ Maxx signs that we can put all over the place. I think there's a little bit more depth than just bringing guys from winning programs. I think guys can come from losing programs and change the culture.
Absolutely. And hear me out on this. I think culture can be two different things. I think culture can be a crutch for a lot of teams. Like, you know, we're familiar with that, with Jack Easterby and that whole thing about get the right people in the culture. I think it's a crutch. It's lazy sometimes, but sometimes it's very real. And I think with D'Amico and the players he's bringing in, I think it's more real, you know, that like legitimately living it, not just saying it. And I think it's open for interpretation. We could all be wrong, but I think that's the difference. Like culture, is it believable? Is it authentic? It was never authentic before. And I think that's the difference with this club right now, with starting with D'Amico, that it's an authentic, we want the right guys here. But let's not make any mistake here. It's still about the best players. And that's why certain players drop and get scooped up and then thrive in the NFL. It starts with that. But I think the authenticity of D'Amico Ryan's, when he says culture versus the authenticity of what we've heard in the past, that's the difference.
I think it's substance over vagueness.
Correct.
Substance over vagueness. Like specific, yeah. specific examples of what's going on instead of vagueness. I think vagueness is the number one tool for a fraud. Number one tool for a fraud is vagueness.
I agree.
And that's how you can tell, is when something's vague, when something's not specific, when you're saying it all matters, but you're not saying what it all is.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That is what's fraudulent.
Right.
D'Amico Ryan's talks about the culture. He talks about specifically what he wants, what he expects. Not that it all matters, just to minimize everything and be vague. And we'll see if it works. I will say this, with all this stuff said, It's about the quarterback.
It's about the players.
You got to find the quarterback.
No, no.
Not even the players. The quarterback.
It is. It starts with the quarterback and then really good players. But the culture, like when Jack Easterby is talking about culture and it all matters, as you just mentioned, and then he's stabbing people in the back.
I didn't mention him. Why are you bringing him up?
Well, whatever you said. And then he's stabbing people in the back. People can see through that so easily. It's not even funny. Whereas D'Amico Ryan's talking about the right people and doing it the right way, and then you see him doing it, and he's authentic and he's candid. You can buy into that culture. That's why I'm saying culture is two things in the NFL, in life, really. It's like a word that you throw around, you toss around, and you think people are going to buy in, but they see through you.
Yes, and that's the difference. Like when you hear people talk about D'Amico Ryans and how he's led them, and you hear Fletcher Cox and you hear Brandon Graham, decade after they played exactly. with him, talking about him at the Super Bowl, you hear that. When you hear Wade Smith or guys that play with D'Amico Ryans, when you see them rolling 50 deep
yeah.
of former players to see D'Amico Ryans, and they're talking about the impact that he had on their life, and you hear Kyle Shanahan talk about it, that's substance. That is substance with leadership. It's not someone labeling themselves a leader and then going and hosting an orientation.
Right.
Number one sign of like a fraud is labeling themselves a leader.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell have you done?
Yeah.
You haven't done anything. Leader, what? Who are you leading? Come on. You're having some sort of seminar? Like, come on, Jack. I mentioned him. There you go. D'Amico Ryans also talked about free agent philosophy. And we've talked about alignment. We've talked about the relationship between him and Nick Caserio. The philosophy of free agency. What's up with these two-year deals? Why didn't the Texans make a huge splash? This was good stuff from D'Amico Ryans talking about the philosophy that he and Nick Caserio have taken this offseason, not giving any three-year contracts.
You don't want to pay a dollar for a B or C player, right? So you just have to have some discipline, and once the price gets to a certain point, you just have to be disciplined enough not to overreach. You want to add quality players to your team, but you don't want to overpay just because you're getting into a bidding war with the team. We're not going to overpay just to overpay. But the talent is the talent. That doesn't change.
Right, there you go. So he basically just said there weren't any A players that we felt like we could go all in on. I don't even think this is a philosophy. I think this is an adjustment to what the market is. I don't think Nick Caserio is going to go into every year of free agency and say, I'm not going to give out multi-year deals. We're trying to figure out the philosophy of the guys in charge. I would be very hesitant to say that this is a Nick Caserio philosophy that 5, 6, 7 years from now, assuming that he's here, that
he's going to stick to.
He sticks to. I think this can be adjusted. I think it's a fluid situation. I don't think this is like some sort of philosophy.
But I also think we can credit Nick Caserio a lot on this one. In fact, I think he said in a part of that that same exchange that we didn't hear, one thing he learned this offseason was you don't have to pay A prices for B and C players. And I said this last week. You've heard the promos about, you know, it's hard to be patient. That's kind of what he's saying right there. You know, we're going to pay the right price for the right players. And I give Nick Caserio a lot of credit for that, because it's easy if somebody gives you $500, you want to spend it, right? It's burning a hole in your pocket. Well, they have cap space, and the instinct is to want to spend it. It's very hard.
They spent it.
But
they'll get it back.
But they were more disciplined.
Short term, yeah. They were more disciplined. Sure.
Like, if I give you $500, you're like, all right, what am I going to buy? Well, maybe the smart thing is, you know what, I'm going to use that for whatever, diapers, you know, or something. So that's what I give Nick Caserio a lot of credit for.
Yeah, I do wonder, like, is it? They do seem to be aligned. It's going to be very fluid. It'll be interesting to see, like, how this changes from year to year. Draft, by the way, less than a month away. Cal McNair, I think he's going to speak today at the owners' meetings. We'll probably hear from him later on in the show or tomorrow. So we'll hear what Cal McNair has to say as the owners' meetings are still going. John McClain's still there, right?
I believe so.
Okay. When's he getting back?
I don't know. I'm guessing the owners' meeting end tomorrow. They usually end on a Thursday, I think.
So he'll be back.
Well, you'd have to read the column I wrote on Sports Radio 610. It was posted this morning.
Not why you're here, John. Not why you're here. Oh.
That was an answer to a question of a radio hit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. It sure was.
Who cares?
Kind of do. Kind of do.
Yeah, so what?
Well, yeah. So what? There you go. Lord. So Lamar Jackson to the Colts. There's a new angle to this that I find interesting. Apparently, there's no hurry. We've talked about, you know, Aaron Rodgers. They need to trade him by the draft. And that's what a lot of people believe. Maybe they could probably still do it after, but that's the point. Is before the draft, before the end of April, is when you think the deal is going to get done. The Lamar Jackson deal, it might be a situation where the Colts trade for him after the draft, which would mean the Indianapolis Colts would have the opportunity to use the number 4 pick, however they decide. And let's imagine that the Indianapolis Colts decide they're just going to trade back now because Chris Ballard has been known to trade back. If you're approaching the draft from the Indianapolis Colts' point of view and your chess plan, thinking moves ahead, is you're going to trade a couple firsts after this draft for Lamar Jackson or something like that, then you can maybe get extra cute and you could either draft Will Anderson, number 4 overall, best defensive player on the board.
By all accounts, most accounts.
Or you could sit there and hope that a team falls in love with Will Levis or Anthony Richardson and trade back and stockpile picks to where maybe trading a couple first-round picks isn't as big of a deal to you because you're able to add picks with that number 4. I think the latter is a very strong possibility when it comes to the Colts because we've assumed that Indianapolis is going to get a quarterback. If they're in on Lamar Jackson, they're definitely not going to draft a quarterback. And if they're in on Lamar Jackson, they're going to have to give up draft picks. So why not hope that someone falls in love with one of the guys that you're not falling in love with and you stockpile those picks and you minimize the blow and the cost of trading for Lamar Jackson? I think that's a very strong possibility. I think we can see a lot of chess, checkers, all that type of stuff being played by Indianapolis. I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, but I kind of feel the other way. I kind of feel they're going to use the 4th pick and try to make the trade after because of what they can do for their defense. I mean, they still have a pretty dang good defense, you know. You add Jalen Carter in the middle or Will Anderson on the edge. What does it do for their defense? Immediately, if you get Lamar Jackson, you already have some weapons that he hasn't had before, and that's at receiver and running back. I could kind of see them saying, let's make ourselves a complete team with these two badass, or one of these two badasses right here. I mean, clearly it's on the board to trade back. You just laid it out. But I'm just saying, get a stud, and then you get Lamar Jackson?
But can't you still get a stud? Because if you trade back, let's say you're trading depends back on to how 8 far. Or 9. If you're trading back to 8 or 9 and that team likes whoever.
Anthony Richardson.
Whoever. Yeah. His pro day is tomorrow, by the way. So let's say you do that. You could still get Tyree Wilson or Jalen Carter.
Of course.
And you add the first-round pick. So you're going to have 3 first-round picks the next 2 years. You trade 2 of those 3 to Indianapolis, maybe. And Albert Breer said it's negotiable. So maybe you don't even do that. Who knows? I don't know how much leverage Baltimore has. So you do that, and then you've also added a stud, but you've also minimized the draft picks.
No, sure.
There's a lot of possibilities with the Colts.
You're not wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, and it also depends on how high you have Tyree Wilson and other teams ahead of you, who they draft and all that. But I think I could see them going defense stud on the defensive line or edge, and then Lamar Jackson after the draft.
There's a lot of possibilities. Yeah. It's a lot more interesting when you think about them doing it after the draft. I don't want to say scary, but, I mean, it definitely raises eyebrows a little bit more.
It definitely scary.
Those possibilities and then just flat out trading for Lamar Jackson and trading pick number 4. I thought pick number 4 seemed a little bit wild, especially if you're giving up 2 1s, because I think the value of that is just crazy. You saw Carolina gave up 2 firsts to move up 8 spots. So if you're giving up number 4 overall pick, should you really have to give up another 1? It just seems it seems that way, and maybe that's where the Colts are going. Albert Breer threw out that. I think it's very interesting. Coming up, let's have a little bust watch. Players that are the most capable of busting out in 2023. Astros opened the season in a good way. Not busts, busting out. All positive vibes coming up on In the Loop next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, bust out watch. Good busts. Players who are at least possibly capable of busting out this season. Texans, Astros, maybe Rockets. Guys who could have bust out seasons. Let's start with the Houston Texans. Damian Pierce, running back last year. For the Texans, hell of a year, 1,000-yard rushing. It looked like it was going to happen, did not happen because he got hurt. Now this is kind of an interesting situation because you wonder if Damian Pierce can carry the ball as many times as they relied on him to carry it last year over the course of an entire season. Hasn't done it since high school, but. Damian Pierce, I think he's going to be drafted in fantasy leagues probably in the top three rounds. Mm-hmm. Damian Pierce is very capable of being a Pro Bowl running back. His ceiling is pretty high. So bust watch candidate number one, the running back for your Houston Texans, who D'Amico Ryans has had a lot of nice things to say, Damian Pierce.
Bust it down, bust it down.
They want to run the ball, and they've added to the running game. I couldn't agree more. But define that. Is he going to break 1,200 yards? Is with Singletary here? Is it going to be more limited? Or something
I said
like that?
Pro Bowl capable 1,200 yards.
Yeah, is it going to be that with Singletary here? It's going to be interesting to watch.
Jalen Petrie, 5 interceptions last year, up and down season. Rookie struggles, we'll call it. This system appears to be equipped for Jalen Petrie to succeed. We've seen D'Amico Ryans succeed with players that play that position before. Jalen Petrie, I feel best about when it comes to anyone on this list that I would bet on. I would bet on Jalen Petrie taking a significant step forward. And if he builds on what he did last year, eliminates the lows, improves the tackling a little bit, maybe there's more help in front of him to where he isn't forced to make as many tackles and D'Amico Ryans moves him around. I could easily see Jalen Petrie being a Pro Bowl caliber safety. And I actually feel more confident in this happening than I do Damian Pierce being a Pro Bowl running back and carrying a heavy load over the course of an entire year.
D'Amico's system and clean up the tackling and you got yourself a really, really, really good player.
Bust it open, then I tell her, bring it back.
Derek Stingley was a number 3 overall pick. The player that went after him, Sauce Gardner, had one of the best rookie seasons that we've seen. Now, Sauce Gardner was running a system that was probably more equipped for his skills. Good news for Derek Stingley, he is now in that system. The exact same defensive system that Robert Sala runs with the Jets. One of his understudies, D'Amico Ryans, is going to be running here. Derek Stingley is going to be playing a lot more man. He's not going to be stuck in Lovie Smith's system. This one needs to happen. Like, Derek Stingley needs to be, at the very least, maybe not an elite number one corner, but he needs to be a cornerback that you feel good about being the guy at the very top of your cornerback depth chart. And I think he's very, very capable of it. The only problem with Derek Stingley is it's the same problem that he had when he was selected 11 months ago by the Texans, number three overall. Can he stay healthy? Can he be on the field over an entire course of a season? I expect him to have more opportunity, and he's very capable of capitalizing on that opportunity in D'Amico's system. We just have the same questions about Derek Stingley this year that we had last year, and the same questions, really, if you want to go even further back, that LSU had the year before that.
Probably number one on the list, isn't he? In terms of, like, potential for the best improvement from 1 year to the next? Given D'Amico, given the system, et cetera, what you just laid out?
I think Petrie is.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think Petrie is the one that I would bet the most on. Petrie, John Mechie, don't expect too much from him, but there is potential there to where John Mechie could add an element that the Texans haven't had in a long, long time. You draft a guy in the second round, you had to have had some decent expectations. You took him over George Pickens from Georgia. You took him over Sky Moore. You took John Mechie. You had to have had at least a pretty decent amount of expectation for John Mechie. Again, just the fact that we're even talking about John Mechie playing ball after everything he went through last year, the leukemia, that's a miracle in itself. But as far as potentially impacting and giving the Texans something that they haven't had in a while and building on what the expectations were last year, I'll put John Mechie on this list, although I'm not going to sit here and lay out, like, tangible expectations for him.
Going to be one of the most watched guys early in training camp and in the preseason. Let me add one more and see what your thoughts are on this. Because I think D'Amico and his example, his culture, as we talked about earlier, is going to be a factor. What about Kenyon Green? If he comes back looking...
I'm not confident in that.
But what if he comes back, like, looking completely different?
I'm not confident in it.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm not confident in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he does, then obviously he's on it. But this is based on guys that I'm confident in. I'm not confident in Kenyon Green. He's shown me nothing to make me confident in him.
He's shown some flashes.
Yeah. Very small ones.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he comes. He's got to be a serviceable, because I think even these guys that we're talking about, outside of Mechie, Pierce has shown he can be a serviceable starting running back. Petrie's shown he can be a serviceable starting safety. Stingley has shown he can be a serviceable starting cornerback. Kenyon Green hadn't even showed that he can be a serviceable starting left guard. Until I see that, I can't say, like, bust out watch.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I think
Casario better hope so.
I think Kenyon Green's going to be one of those you watch in training camp as well, like Mechie. See what he looks like. See what he comes back like. See what this style of offense does for him. Different blocking scheme, etc.
Let's go to the Astros. Now, this one is big because this guy's already one of the best players in baseball. He's already one of the best, maybe 50 players in baseball. He's already maybe the most reliable from the beginning of the season to the end guy on a roster that is defending a championship. I'm putting Kyle Tucker on the list. And the reason I'm putting Kyle Tucker on the list, I could see Kyle Tucker being an MVP candidate easily. And breaking out. The Astros went through that arbitration garbage with Kyle Tucker. They argued over $2.5 million. We've been talking about, hell, when he first came into the league, we were calling him Ted Effin Williams.
Yeah.
He has five tools. I could see Kyle Tucker breaking out to the point where he's already an all-star caliber player. We're talking about a potential MVP.
And he has a contract he's looking at. I think that's a good one. 30-30 guy, going to be able to maybe carry the team like he hasn't before. I agree with you.
Next one.
Bust it down, bust it, bust it, bust it down, bust it.
Jose Abreu. Just because we don't know what he is.
Yeah.
They're going to need him. Michael Brantley's banged up. Jose Altuve's out. Because he hasn't been on the scene, maybe we'll get a grasp of how good Jose Abreu is. I put him on this list. Maybe he's not much better than last year, but just the fact we didn't watch him every day, he's almost on the list by default.
You just need a jolt at that position, more consistency. You need him to be as good or better than he's been. That's it.
Bust it open, then I tell her, bring it back.
Christian Javier. Never seen him in the starting rotation from beginning to end. Have never seen that. Now, we saw him pitch last year when it mattered most. Without Christian Javier, they're not raising that banner tomorrow. They're definitely not. Christian Javier pitched better in the postseason than Justin Verlander did. And now, it's not going to be a luxury where you sit around and have him sitting on his butt chewing sunflower seeds for 6 days and then all of a sudden have him come in there in some mop-up duty and then maybe start him a couple times during the month. He's in your rotation. He's starting the second game of the season now, Christian Javier, and I think he's more than capable. Christian Javier is on the list. I could easily see Christian Javier as an all-star. We saw Lance McCullers as an all-star when he was early in his career, and we got our first taste of him full-time in the rotation. Christian Javier, final bust-out watch candidate.
I'm about as excited to see him as anybody on the pitching staff or in the bullpen. Just because we saw in the postseason what his makeup is, what he's made of. He's one of those guys that is going to be able to step in and not be, well, certainly not intimidated, and certainly has the makeup to reach another level. I agree with you.
On the text line, the 832, Kenyon Green will be vastly improved for more than one reason, but one is because from day one he'll be protecting a better, more athletic quarterback. From the 281, I'm confident in Kenyon Green in year two. I hope so. Look, if I had to bet on Kenyon Green turning into a serviceable left guard, I would say sure. Yes, I would, but I'm not going to skip that step and say that he's ready to bust out. And furthermore, just serviceable left guard for a guy that you selected in the top 15 of the first round, is that really that much of a bust out?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't shock me.
No, that wouldn't be.
Wouldn't shock me, but I wouldn't bet on it.
You know, being just a guy that you can plug in and kind of live with, that's not busting out. I'm going to be very interested to see how they've connected with him because it clearly was not just a physical thing. I mean, well, it was physical in terms of he wasn't in shape, but he's got the tools, put it that way.
It felt bad for him out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like anything that could have gone wrong for a rookie, it wasn't great surroundings. He wasn't playing next to a good center. He wasn't playing next to a veteran center. There were some injuries, maybe some issues.
And he got overwhelmed. And he was out of shape.
And he faced some very good defensive tackles. Maybe that makes him better. I hope so, because I think he can be a very good player. But we got to see serviceable, consistent left guard play from Kenyon Green. And then maybe we throw him on this list. If I missed anyone, 713-572-4610, trailer, wheel, and frame. Text line coming up. There was some alleged crying. What the hell is going on with these national media types? The hits are lit next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Crygate. Heard of Spygate? How about Crygate? Hits are lit here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, so Brian Windhorst reported that Stephen Silas cried in 2021 at an emotional news conference. He then issued a retraction. Here is Brian Windhorst of ESPN's statement. Quote, "I regretfully made a mistake in today's story about Stephen Silas breaking down in tears after a game this season. It was inaccurate. I confused the details from an emotional news conference in 2021. Close quote. What are we doing here? What's going on?
First of all, I don't know how he could confuse those two things. That's the first thing, right? Like, from 2021, I confused the details with that about something he did this season. I mean, I think what is going on is he was told a story and went with it without really, you know, following up enough. But then I think also the Rockets, as Adam Spillane was talking about, went ballistic. Because they're already sensitive about Stephen Silas. And Stephen Silas already has this reputation of being too nice, soft, whatever. And so they went nuts on it. So, of course, Brian Windhorst had to.
So who looks bad in this?
Windhorst. You can't be that wrong, man. You can't be that wrong. So it's one thing to, like, misspeak or, you know, whatever, confuse, you know, get some bad information and all that. But that
how
wrong?
Did he even get that yeah. insane area?
That's what I'm saying. How does that happen from 2021 to crying after a game this season? You can't be that wrong. Everybody makes mistakes. Can't be that wrong.
Well, the thing that's happening now, and I find this interesting, and I mean, look, it is what it is, but now it's like, well, see, you can't trust the national media and what they say about the Rockets. All this talk about the Rockets and the train wreck
you
and all this stuff. You can't trust it because Brian Windhorst
preaching.
Was wrong about when Stephen Silas cried.
They out to get us.
Preaching.
See, they hate us.
That's what's happening now.
But that's part of the reason you can't be this wrong. You take a little bit of a slight or mistake and people are going to say, oh, they hate us.
Look at them trying to make us look bad.
Yeah, this big? You're just feeding the monster.
But does this make the Rockets look bad? Is this just, this is a weird
It makes Stephen Silas look bad, which he already did. You know, like, if you're looking at this like, okay, all right, he shouldn't have done it, but that stuff happens sometimes. I don't think it, like, is a reflection on the Rockets. It's Stephen Silas, who's, he's in coaching terms, a dead man walking
he's
anyway.
Gone.
Yeah,
he's gone.
Yeah, he's dead man walking.
He's done.
But don't a lot of the national media feel sorry for Stephen Silas?
Yes.
And so if you see him crying after this awful season, they probably feel more sorry for him and looking bad at the Rockets.
You're right, though. And we all know the Rockets' Twitter, the go-to accounts, and they are all over this.
Can't trust the national media.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the dream. I hope for the sake of the Rockets, I hope Steven Silas goes and everything's great. Of course.
Yeah.
That's what you hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they hope. I just don't think that's the case.
You still think...
I would blow the whole thing up.
Yeah.
I would get a new GM and I would get a new coach and I would blow the whole thing up. You've been fortunate enough to where you've kind of benefited from... I would look at it almost like as not a direct comparison, but how Levy Smith and David Culley got you through the mud. I would look at it as Rafael Stone and Steven Silas got you through the mud. And some people will say, well, why aren't you saying that about Nick Caserio? Because Nick Caserio didn't have two top five picks. Nick Caserio wasn't, you know, Steven Silas, the craziest thing about Steven Silas is Steven Silas was hired to coach James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So it's not like you hired David Culley and Lovie Smith.
It's already a train wreck.
Knowing what the situation was and knowing nobody wanted this gig. Say what you want about Steven Silas. He was one of the he was a pretty popular name.
He was on the market. Trending as a guy that should get a job.
If he had never gotten this job, he would have gotten an opportunity to potentially screw up somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. And also, I think you made some bad top five picks. I think there's been like some other I would, if I were the Fertittas, and I trust the Fertittas.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Patrick does. I like what Tillman Fertitta does. And I root for both of them. I think they do a good job. I think Tillman's done a good job letting Patrick do his thing. I think Patrick has done a good job of doing his thing. But if I were them, I'm not them. I would get a new GM and I would get a new coach.
I'll go back to what I've repeatedly said on this show and off air. It's one thing to say, look, if you have the closed door meeting with Tillman and Patrick 3 years ago and you're like, we're going to be bad. This is the plan. I get it. And it's a good plan. You know, get into the lottery, get these young players, get going, and then reboot in 2024. I get it. But you could not have expected to be this bad.
They didn't.
You could not have.
They didn't.
Yeah. And that's a reflection of Steven Silas, maybe not to the degree of Rafael Stone, maybe not to the degree of Steven Silas, but it's still a reflection on him.
Yes.
You know?
No doubt.
Yeah.
100%. So you got a favorable result. I would start over. That's just me. I would start over, no matter what happens. Tomorrow is going to be a historic day in the city. There's going to be a banner raised, second World Series banner that the Astros will raise at the Juice Box. There's also going to be a completely different form of baseball. Baseball is going to be fast. Games are going to be about 2.5 hours. You're not going to be sitting around till 10:45 watching the game drag along. Baseball is going to be different. This is a monumental day around here where you're going to have a banner in the rafters forever, and it's also going to be a monumental day for baseball and perhaps a last-ditch effort to finally get some sort of momentum that they failed to capitalize on the last few years. I'm excited to watch this new form of baseball. I hope it works out. I love America's pastime. They need this to work. They need this to be a hit. They need the entertainment. They need the dialogue. They need a better product to where baseball is no longer a regional sport.
You said baseball is going to have – it's kind of a new start, right? This is the one that has to work. This is the one that has to bring fans back, you know, in a bigger way. I think baseball is going to be more fun. I really do. And so this is what's going to help. It's going to be faster. It's going to be more exciting. There's going to be more runs. There's going to be more late inning, you know, drama with pitchers perhaps tiring because of the pitch clock, as Adam Spillane was saying. It's going to be a more fun product. I mean, I don't see how you can look at it any other way.
Astros sending Framber Valdez on the bump tomorrow. Friday night, you're going to have Christian Javier. Saturday, Jose Urquidy. And then Sunday, the artist formerly known as Cha-Cha, Luis Garcia, takes his new delivery to the mound. So nice little four-game set there. No Justin Verlander. Forrest Whitley, he exists. Yesterday, he threw 39 of 56 pitches for strikes, 13 whiffs. He struck out 5. Just allowed 2 hits and did not walk a batter. He was repping the Space Cowboys against the Astros. How about that?
Well, let me ask you what Sean asked me during the talk. What do you think about Forrest Whitley?
Nothing.
Now that's what I'm saying.
Nothing. Let me know when it happens. I am not going to go back to nitpicking everything that Forrest Whitley does that is not at the big league level. Nothing. No thoughts, really.
I was just like, okay. Yeah, I mean – what was it? How many strikeouts did he have? 13?
13 whiffs. Just five strikeouts.
Five strikeouts.
Yeah.
13 swings.
13 swing and misses. Is that great for 56?
I mean.
I don't know, like, the like 20% whiffs. I guess that's good. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know. I have no idea. Cool?
He's been in the organization since 2016.
I didn't know he's bringing that stat up like that.
The thing is, like, there's no problem with letting him just kind of drift away because there was a time not too long. Well, it does seem like it was long ago, damn it. 5 years ago, we're sitting there saying, all right, this is going to be the next big thing. This is going to be your horse. This is the next Mike Scott. This is the next Roger Clemens. This is your next ace, Forrest Whitley. And there was a time where nitpicking everything he did was relevant.
Expected, yeah.
But at this point, I mean, he's been passed up by every pitcher we just named. Like, these young guys were coming up around the same time, and these guys are battle-tested. They've pitched on the biggest stage, and they are pitching for the defending champions. Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, Luis Garcia. Like, all those guys are above him. So I don't give a damn about Forrest Whitley.
How many players, period, drafted in 2016 are not in the major leagues? First round picks.
Is Sean pumped about Whitley?
I think he was excited about his effort last night.
Is he going to go to a Space Cowboys game again?
Well, he likes going to Space Cowboys.
Take some selfies?
Yeah, sure.
Forrest Whitley night?
Of course. I could see that happen. But, I mean, he was drafted in 2016.
You think he pitches in the bigs this year?
I mean, I'm going to have to say.
I mean, he has to.
I'm going to have to say
he
yes.
He has to.
Just because they're so thin there. No, not so thin, but, I mean, they need help there. He would have to.
I mean, he has to, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say yes. He will pitch.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The A's could be moving to Las Vegas when a stadium gets built. This is per Jim Bowden. So the Oakland A's, much like the Oakland Raiders, could be taking their talents to Las Vegas. You saw this coming from a mile away.
Absolutely. They can't draw 10,000 people in Oakland on most days. And everything in Vegas, they're going to just be so – they're going to keep the name allegedly. Of the A's.
The A's?
Yeah, and go to Vegas.
So they're going
to
be the Las Vegas A's.
Yes, that's what the story is right now.
Okay.
Now, maybe they'll change it eventually, but as of now, they're going to keep the name. And I think it's going to be, boy, talk about turning a franchise around. Just going, I mean, because people, the thing about baseball, people just like to catch a game. I mean, it doesn't really matter who's playing. You go to Las Vegas, you're going to catch a game, especially if it's an afternoon game.
8 hours and 40 minutes to drive from Oakland to Las Vegas. So it's kind of just right down the road.
8 hours is
I'm talking about for a flight.
Yeah, yeah.
How long is the drive?
Eight hours and 40 minutes. So it's basically like going to, like, if the Astros move to Lubbock.
Ooh.
Yeah, Cleveland and New York City is 8 hours.
Yeah. So.
How about afternoon games in Las Vegas?
What, how hot it is?
120
degrees.
They're
going to have a roof. They're not stupid. what do you think they're doing, building a ballpark in Arlington without a roof?
Play outdoor baseball.
Yeah, they would never do that.
They're not stupid.
They couldn't.
What is this, the Minnesota not having a freaking roof in the coldest place in the world? They're definitely going to have a roof.
That's your biggest pet peeve.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have a roof. They're not dumb. Everyone should have to have a roof. Good Lord.
There will be no room on the Whitley bandwagon for either of you.
Is that from Sean Pendergast? That's nope. Fine. I'm good with that. You can have it.
I didn't say he was a disaster.
You can have my seat.
All I said was he's been in the Astros organization since 2016, and I was meh on his performance yesterday.
I'm good. I don't need to be on it. Sean can ride that train all over the place. I'm good.
His bandwagon.
All right. Whatever, dude.
I'm not on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have it. I'll believe it when I see it. It's like Bigfoot. No belief here. None.
You'll see him this year.
Nada.
Odds are.
Will you see Lamar Jackson this year? And could there be a scenario in which the Indianapolis Colts have their cake and eat it too? Lunchtime begins next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.